Last year, you were elected national chairman of the Diabetes Research Institute Foundation. It's based in Florida, and I'd like you to tell me how you got involved with that.
Well, my son, Will, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes on April 26, 1994. Since that time, I've been actively interested in trying to help find a cure for this disease. And my wife and I researched several different organizations that we felt that we could affiliate with in order to help do what we could to find a cure. Now, we're not scientists, but I'm a retired business guy, and I've been very fortunate, and I was hopeful that I could invest with an organization some of my time and treasury to help find this cure. We're like a lot of parents. We attended a lot of conferences to see what we could do to help our child live better with this disease. And in one of those information sessions at a conference, we met some people from the Diabetes Research Institute, which is based in Miami, Florida, and is connected with the University of Miami. And we were just very impressed with some of the things they had going on research-wise down there. And we decided to make a visit to the Institute later that year. And we were toured through the facility. We got to meet a lot of the scientists who are actually the people that are looking through the microscopes every day trying to find this cure. It's a very impressive organization. It's kind of the Manhattan Project for the cure of type 1 diabetes. They have 140 scientists, physicians, engineers, people from a lot of different disciplines that are all working together every day to find the cure. They have people from all over the world that they have attracted to this facility because it is the leading research facility in the world for this cure. Additionally, they partner with about 35 other laboratories across the world through the DIR Federation. So we liked that aspect of it, that you know, they share information. They're constantly trying to work with anybody they can to further this cause. And they have about 35 partners across the globe in 15 different countries that we work with as well. So it's a multidisciplinary approach on a worldwide basis with the sole focus of finding a cure for diabetes.
Do you receive regular updates about progress?
Oh, yes. Yes, we're in constant communication with the Institute. The foundation exists to raise money to turn over to the Institute to be spent for research. And as a result, we have a close working relationship with the scientists at the Institute. They're an impressive bunch of folks, I can tell you. And many of them have diabetes in their immediate families. For many of these people, this is a calling close to home, if you will, because they are impacted by this disease personally as well as professionally.
How has your family seen the approach to type 1 change from the point of your son being diagnosed to now? How old is he now?
He's 21. He's a junior at Tulane University. And we were like a lot of parents. Before Will was diagnosed, we didn't know a lot about type 1 diabetes. But once that happened on April 26 of 94, we became very knowledgeable about the disease and how you live with it. And the, I guess, silver lining, if there is one in any disease, is particularly a chronic disease such as type 1 diabetes, is that you can live with the disease. And there have been a lot of advances made lifestyle-wise to make it easier for people that have this disease to live with it. That does not mitigate the seriousness of the disease or the problems that you face having the disease going forward, which necessitates this drive and desire to find a cure. Living with a chronic disease is not the same as being free of the disease, and that's our goal.
Tell me how your family realized that Will had this disease.
Well, actually, my wife had taken our two kids with another mom and her two kids to Gulf Shores, Alabama for a few days. And Will was just really thirsty. And in fact, he was so thirsty, he was drinking pool water. wife was afraid I was going to make him sick, so she stopped by a local doctor's office there in Gulf Shores, just thinking that she might ought to get him something that maybe, you know, drinking pool water was going to make him sick, and they were getting ready to get on the road to drive back to Murray. And the doctor was a young doctor, and she started asking Kelly questions about, you know, well, does Will drink pool water often? And she said, well, you know, he's 2 years old, you know, who knows what a two-year-old does, but no, not normally. And she said, hang on just a minute, I want to check something. So the doctor, I guess, did a finger prick to get a blood sample, and did a blood sugar reading that showed Will was 537. And she came back and told Kelly that your son has type 1 diabetes. We're going to put him in an ambulance and take him to Children's Hospital in Pensacola right now. So that was our introduction to diabetes. We had no history of it in our family at all, which is the case for about 50% of the type 1 diabetes diagnosis. But so just the doctor listening, and it triggered something in her mind that maybe she needed to check something, and it was kind of a fluke. But fortunately for us, she did her job, and we found out early enough that you know, that Will was not caused any damage, and that we therefore adjusted his lifestyle and our lifestyle going forward.
How did your lifestyles change?
Any parent of a diabetic child will tell you it's just a constant concern and worry about your child, because it is a disease that can do damage, and you have to stay on top of it. And it does affect not only your child, but it affects your child's siblings and your child's parents and grandparents. It affects the whole family, because you're constantly on guard to make sure that your child's blood sugar is in the right zone, to make sure that he or she has enough to eat, that he or she is being active, that he or she has enough insulin to counteract the effects of eating. It's a balancing act. You have to take all these factors into account and try to balance the insulin that you're giving your child with their level of activity, what they've eaten, what you think they're going to be doing in the next few hours. So it's a constant challenge to keep all those balls in the air. And the younger your child is, I think the more concern there is, because they're sometimes not old enough to know how they feel, to sense what their body's telling them, or to communicate it to you in a way that you can pick up on it immediately. So there's a lot of concern, worry, monitoring, and it is a family-wide effort to get it done.
Am I understanding that the nighttime watches is particularly critical, especially for kids?
Especially for kids, nighttime is critical. One of the reasons for that is because they are very sleepy. I mean, again, they may wake up and not realize that their blood sugar levels are dropping because they are so tired to begin with. So, and many of the unfortunate things that happen to type 1 kids happen at night. In fact, when my son was ready to get his big boy bed, we bought him a bunk bed, and I'd always wanted a bunk bed when I was a kid, my brother and I, but my parents would never buy us one. I think they were afraid we would throw each other off the top of it or something. But so I bought Will a bunk bed, and I showed it to my mother, and she said, well, you finally got your bunk bed. So I slept on the top bunk for the next 8 years. So just, you know, out of an abundance of caution to have somebody there and to monitor him during the night and make sure that that he didn't, his blood sugar level didn't drop, and that we didn't have a problem. So it is a lot more consideration the younger the child and at nighttime.
How did your daughter get involved?
Well, my daughter was thrown into it just like we were, because you didn't have a choice, and she was older, and she was always a caregiver anyway. So she always took very good care of her younger brother, and would make sure that he had his insulin pens, or made sure that he had a juicy juice or a juice with him, because again, when your blood sugar drops, you need some immediate sugar in your system. You can get that through juice or candy or whatever. It would immediately release or more quickly release into your body. So she always made sure his supplies were adequate, and she always just kind of watched him like we did too. You know, there are some telltale signs you can kind of see when your blood sugar is dropping that if you pay attention, you can help head off an issue. And so she was very helpful in that regard too.
I'd like to go back to your role as a fundraiser and ask what your annual goals are for fundraising.
Our budget's about $14 million this year. And we've raised close to $200 million toward this cure since our founding about 40 years ago. And this was founded by a bunch of moms and dads that had children with diabetes, and they banded together to try to start research at the University of Miami that would be focused on finding a cure for their children. And it's grown out of that. And today, like I said, we've got 140 people there. It's probably the largest research facility in the country dedicated to finding a cure for type 1 diabetes.
Does Will face any special challenges having been diagnosed so young?
Well, only the challenge is the fact that he is a type 1 diabetic. Nothing more compounding, given that he was diagnosed earlier. It just means that really, in his case, that's all he's ever known.